Hey everyone, welcome to episode 74 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. I'm going to be here for just a second. Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network and the host of Nerds United here on the network, took over for me this week at the Cape Comic-Con, having a chance to meet up with WWE Hall of Famers Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob Orton. A big part of the Cape Comic-Con experience is professional wrestling, and those two legends were in town in Cape Girardeau for the 11th annual Comic-Con. So check it out. Stay tuned and listen to that. But I also encourage you to come out and check out Cape Comic-Con if you are in the Midwest next year. I'm sure the date has not been set yet, but it will be coming up very soon. So you can stay tuned here or to the Nerd United page and learn more about that event. But I want to also encourage you to check out iTunes and leave a review for us here on the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. You can also leave comments on the jitterymonkey.com page or my123cents.com. Again, I thank you for listening, sharing, downloading this podcast, and I thank Greg for taking over and getting the show on this week for us. Thanks, everyone.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Yeah, as I can a little bit on Dick, especially him, you know, as Dick was a great guy and just a character, a special character. And he was a much better athlete than what you would think that he was, you know. I mean, he had a big derby on him, weighed about 300 pounds. But he was quite an athlete, as he never played football in college. In fact, he quit He quit school right after his senior year in high school, and he went on. He started refereeing matches, and then I was in an X's game at West Texas playing football, and he came down there and he told everybody that he played for West Texas. Well, he didn't play for West Texas, and he went ahead, but he went and got into the X's game as a middle linebacker, you know, and. And I'll be darned if he didn't play a darn good game, you know. And, I mean, he was just that kind of a guy. He was a very athletic guy, a physical guy, a beer-drinking fool, and something that we all like to be around on the road, you know.
Your book, you mentioned that you think, like, the main reason they didn't get him to NWA belt was because they figured he might trade for a case of beer or something.
Well, I think that's right. Or maybe just a beer. I think that might be true. What, sir? Did they change the name of it? It's just, no, they haven't changed the name of it. It's just still West Texas University, but it's, and this is not being funny or anything, but the whole thing kind of evolved, you know. It had Dwayne Thomas and Mercury Morris were superstars, one of them for the Miami Dolphins and the other one for the Dallas Cowboys. They played on the same team that I did, you know, but all of those guys kind of disappeared after a while, and the wrestlers disappeared, and it's kind of lost a little bit of its glamour. Honestly and seriously, as I think wrestling and the people that came from it became more famous than the guys that went on to play in a professional football league.
Because he had Tino Santana, I believe, and Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase and Tully Blanchard. And yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. No, he was after me, and he was a quarterback, but he had a Tully had a car wreck his between his junior and senior year, and it cut his trap or whatever it is right back here, and just he couldn't throw the football his last year, so you didn't hear much of him for football, but he was a hell of a football player too. Oh, just on and on and on, you know, and all of them were great athletes, too. And then, plus, great football players came out of there at that time, too, like Dwayne Thomas, you know, and Mercury Morris. You can't get any bigger and better than those two, you know. But that's a long time ago. Who else got Bobby Orton this time?
I got one. Bob, WrestleMania 1. Tell me what your thoughts were going from your career up to that. Because that day and that moment, I realized it was Madison Square Garden, and I realized 20,000, you probably performed in front of that many before. But with the spectacle of it, was it really surreal and different than what you imagined? Or was doing your job the same as if you were doing it anywhere else? What was that WrestleMania 1 day for you like?
The day was special because we knew, you know, something was getting started that had never been done before. But when it comes right down and going to the ring and everything, it's nothing changes. You know you're part of something really big.
You did.
But when it comes down to going to the ring and everything stays the same. You know, you get bigger. And that's what you do.
Yes, sir.
I think Bobby's just like I am and like most other wrestlers. It's whenever you go ahead and you hear that bell ring and you start heading out down that aisle, you don't, it doesn't really concern you. The numbers don't. It's just a performance that counts, and you give the same performance. You really do. Bob, if he's going to go ahead and wrestle in front of 10,000 people or 500 people or 1,000, doesn't matter. He's going to give the same performance in that ring.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, I've been against Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
I've never wrestled Hollywood Hulk Hogan, but I have Hulk Hogan.
There you go. Yes. Hi.
What do you think wrestling from back when you guys were in the ring? What do you think of today's wrestling?
I've got to not look very far, but my son, I think, is much better than I was. So they just keep getting bigger, and they keep getting better and stronger and faster. You know, just like anything else, everybody evolves.
I think that's very hard to admit, too, you know, and I think it is true what he's saying. Yeah. It just evolves.
For Terry and Bob both, actually, what would you guys say is each one of your favorite matches from your career and why?
My most favorite matches are the ones I didn't get hurt in.
Gosh, that's a pretty hard question. You know, is my favorite matches were the ones that I made the most money in.
Honest answer, I love
this. Speaking of the older matches there, and how you're talking about the performing there, your fights with Mick Foley in Japan. I mean, that kind of had to be something a little different there. I mean, what was kind of the plan?
Well, it was just there was it just evolved, and it was no planning, but it evolved for a reason, and the reason is that we were on an independent promotion, so we didn't have television, and we didn't have, but what we could get was newspaper coverage. So if we could produce some kind of a picture that was more exciting than any other picture, we got in the papers. Well, then they knew where in the hell we were, you know.
Hollywood College.
Oh, yeah. Are you filming any movie
coming up? Yes? For whatever reason, here, I really watch a lot of those.
Hang on one second. I don't know how to handle this.
There's nothing wrong with taking a phone call during a Q&A.
Maybe that big break.
That's right.
It wasn't.
It's gone.
It's got an off button, Terry. Turn this sumbitch off.
Well, it won't ring anymore now.
Okay. Okay.
I promise nobody else is going to call me.
Okay.
Who worked you the stiffest back in the day? I know, like, Harley Race, he really worked pretty stiff matches. Was there anybody that worked you in stiffer matches back then?
Sweet Hansen.
Ooh, he was stiff. Moose Morawski.
Oh, and the Ooh. Other Moose in Chicago.
Moose Cholak.
Cholak.
Oh. All the mooses. I don't know. What was that?
Wine? Was it because Dave couldn't see when he was throwing that big lariat or anything like that?
Hansen? He was nuts. He couldn't see. That's what he always claimed that he couldn't see, you know. He was blind without his glasses. He'd blind my butt. You know, he was trying to kill me. And whoever else he was in the ring with.
When I was 11 years old, I used to watch Mid-South Wrestling religiously every Saturday morning. And
you mean Wrestling at the Chase? Please.
Wrestling at the Chase. And the match that traumatized me as a child was the Empty Arena match with you and Jerry Lawler. Can you elaborate on, or do you have anything to say about, like, the aftermath of that?
It's just that Jerry Lawler is just absolutely nuts and always has been, you know, and... I've always claimed that he was a pervert, too, and he definitely is.
My favorite quote of yours from that time period was, Jerry Lawler is a lover of chickens. And that's stuck with me for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I've seen him with a few pigs, too.
Okay, Donald.
Donald.
Say it again.
I said it's hard to recognize without that cast on that you've worked for about 20 years. I was wondering, do you have any good stories about you and Piper back in the day?
You know,
oh, God.
We had a great time. Just a great time. More heat than anybody I've ever seen since maybe my dad and what was his name? Malenko. But we'd have people waiting for us after the matches. And one night we'd come out to the little ramp. You go up a ramp, Baltimore. And we waited about a half hour after the matches. We'd already had two or three beers. And, okay, you know, everybody's got to be gone by now. Well, I got to the top of that ramp. We went over the top, and here they come. Maybe 2,000 of them. And they started pounding on my car, trying to turn it over. And I said, hang on, Roddy. And, boy, we took off. God, I didn't hit anybody, thank the Lord. And I went down the sidewalk until there was finally a break between cars. And, boom, we got out and we hit it. But stuff like that happened to us all the time.
Bob, I actually YouTubed the famous Snuka Piper with the coconut.
Yeah.
And you were asked, what, I mean, did you, were you just like dizzy? I'm not going to make that, because... How'd you miss that one?
I believe that was the reason for me being Roddy's bodyguard.
Oh, you came back.
Yeah, I came.
Just so you
I
know, Rich Cass did come out of retirement a few months ago.
Yeah.
Why did you give your chainsaw to
Peter? Well,
you know, that was really stupid of me. I've been trying to figure that out for the last couple of weeks now, why I gave it to him. I think it had something to do with a free ticket up there and back and a few bucks along with it. Yeah, I fell for the old payoff. Were there divas? There were lady wrestlers, and they weren't called divas at the time, and there was quite a few of them, weren't there? And there was some very good women wrestlers, and some of them very tough, too, could probably go ahead and kick a few of the guys' butts that were in the ring back in. And that's the truth. And what was the one that was so mean out of Tennessee? I can't remember. She had the wrestling school or something, wasn't it? Not other than Moolah.
Cora Combs.
Cora Combs. Yeah, it was.
Seems, you know, 20 years ago, a little bit more than that, there was such an emphasis on protecting the business and keeping up kayfabe, and now it's with social media and things like that. It's. What are your thoughts on the evolution of the industry and how it relates to the talent?
Well, I think that the guys don't have to worry anymore when they leave the arenas about getting jumped or their car turned over. So that's a plus.
Yeah, and I think there's a wonderful thing for the audience, you know, whenever you can have a suspension of disbelief. And I think it, I don't like that in this day and age. I think it, and I think that we had a great deal of respect in our age for as far as being as wrestlers too, and most everybody was. I mean, you had to be able to hold your own, you know. I mean, you had to be able to wrestle in the days. Is that right or not, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, and now it's different.
Mixed
match,
female against male.
Yeah. Male and female wrestle. Sometimes they had some mixed tags, but not too often.
Yes.
Not too often.
Yeah, I think that China had a few matches with guys, you know, once in a while.
Yeah, she did.
Say again one more time.
We're going to have any more fun wrestling?
Well, yeah, we have Randy. Randy's doing his thing. She wants to know if there's any more funks coming up.
Well, let me tell you, I wish there were. You know, I think it.
All right.
Not. That was one of the most, I'm sure that Bob will tell you the same thing, but you know, as it was great whenever I got to get into the ring with my father, that was the best. Like I've always said, you know, is that, somebody asked me what's the greatest moment that I had in the business was whenever my brother went ahead and won the world's championship. And truthfully mean that. That was a huge thing to our family at that time. It really kind of catapulted us into this, you know, into the light.
Four and a half years.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of great champions. I think that, had, you know, just in the NWA, there's a lot of great ones that
Terry
just...
Powell. So here's the hard-hitting stuff, man. Here's the hard-hitting question.
Hit me.
All right. My two favorite wrestlers on planet Earth, Dory and Terry Funk. Here's the question.
What about Bob?
What?
Bob, you're fixing to go ahead and get
Bob and I spoke about this before. He knows where I'm going. He knows I got a point to make. Bob knows where I'm going. Can you clear up? Can we get Dory on the phone? Can you clear up the accident on the ranch that derailed the Briscoe Funk?
Oh, absolutely.
Can't even clear up at all.
Absolutely.
The hard question of the day, man. I want to come with the hard question.
That's a hard question, but it was the that's what happened. The accident took place.
Yes, sir.
The pickup truck went in the creek.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. After a lot of years, my questions are answered. That's why I got you to Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
I'm sure glad that you believe that. Big Show was, you know, as I think I was in the ring with him one time, and that was in a battle royal. I think Bobby has wrestled him before. Haven't you wrestled Big?
I don't think so.
Big Show, yeah.
Maybe not.
Big Show, yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah.
You work in ECW?
Oh, yeah. I've really got a lot of respect for the Dudleys, Bubba Ray and the other one. And that's because of the independents and how they got into business. Worked their butts off.
This question is for both of you. What's the best rib you ever pulled on a fellow wrestler?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
I
don't know.
Here, take your microphone. I'm going to start thinking.
Oh, I never did ribbon.
You didn't do ribbon?
No, yeah. Bobby never did any ribbon. I never did any ribbon either. I'll tell you a good one on Dick Murdoch. Is a real quick one on Dick Murdoch. Is Dick Murdoch was out at my house, and not at my house, but anyhow, as we went to wrestle in Atlanta. So in Atlanta, there was after the wrestling matches, we went to a bar, and it was out close to the hotel by the airport, and out there they had shopping centers. So they had a bar and several different other buildings like Five and Dimes or whatever in the shopping center. So we went to the bar and came out a little bit inebriated, you know. So then we were looking around out there, and there was some grocery carts as we started up the car. And I said to Dick Murdoch, I said, Dick, what would be really funny would be if you got in one of those grocery carts and let me push you up there by the door of the tavern up there, you know, at the bar that we were in. He said, ho, ho, Budrow. He said, that'd really be funny. He said, all right. He said, I'll do that. So he got out and he climbed into the grocery cart. And I got behind him in the rental car. And I went ahead. And I went in and I started out slow, and I said, and old Dick says, oh, that's good, Budrow, good. I was hollering. So then I went ahead and gassed it, you know. He said, whoa, Budrow, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I just went ahead and got him going about 20 miles an hour, and the doggone people were coming out at that time and just slammed on the brakes, and off he went in that grocery cart. But I thought that was a pretty funny thing to do.
Did Bob give his rib yet? Did you give your best rib yet?
He never ribbed anybody.
I never did. I never did do that kind of thing.
Wait.
For Terry Funk, what was it like working with Patrick Swayze and Bret Hart?
It was great. He's a great guy, you know, and really respected him. Thought he was a wonderful guy. He's the kind of guy you like to go out and drink beer with on Friday night. And that's the truth. He really was, you know. And Sly is a great guy and everything, but he's much more busier than Patrick and got a lot more to do and everything else. And I can understand that he doesn't have the time for
isn't that right, Terry?
Some people.
Another Texas guy? Swayze was another Texas guy?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's
all right, guys, we got time for we got 7 minutes. Ask more questions, and I want to take the last 30 minutes to make sure everyone has gotten the pictures, the autographs, and all that taken care of. If not, we'll do it right now. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you headed back to their table, but again, I want to make sure you guys get the pictures and the autographs in the next 30 minutes here. So a couple more questions, and then we'll go into the pictures and autographs. Yeah.
In your book, this question is for my wife because she wanted to know this. In your book, you tell a story about how you and your wife were at a bar, and a guy come up to you and wanted to crush your hand, and you slapped him in the face, and your ring flew off. Did you ever get the ring back?
No, I did not. And who wound up with it was the owner of the bar.
Okay.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
And it was a big... It was a
good ring.
Yeah, when I first started, yeah.
Tell me about
him. Oh, God, what a tough man. But he trained, you know, very hard, 1,000 squats, 4-8 breakfast, you know, that kind of guy. But he certainly knew his wrestling.
Question? Yes, sir?
Who was his favorite person to wrestle?
You asked these two fellas, right?
Here.
Who was your favorite person to wrestle?
Who was your favorite person?
Because everybody was good back in my day. So I liked wrestling just about everybody.
And I like the one that I made the most money with.
Please say Lawler or Rhodes.
Kind of along that lines, you were in Beyond the Mat, you know, the movie that came out there.
Yeah.
Were you pleased with the way that turned out? I heard that WWF at the time, or WWE at the time, didn't really like how it painted the business, but...
I painted the business. It was painted pretty good compared to what it is now, you know. I enjoyed doing that documentary, and I thought it was a very good look at the time as somewhat of the independence, you know. That is very funny. That is because he wasn't booked, yeah. That was it. He wasn't booked and he couldn't come up here.
Louis showed up somewhere. We were hanging out one day and I kept looking at his shirt and I was like, man, what the heck is on that shirt? It was the dude on the trampoline on a t-shirt.
I have a t-shirt that says Dennis Stamp Wrestling Academy because you never know when your next match.
And I looked at him and I thought, did they put anything on t-shirts? They'll just throw a t-shirt together.
That, you know, that guy's got a lot of mileage out of that film.
I bet. All right.
He's got a lot of mileage.
Maybe one or two more. Yes, sir.
For both Terry and Bob, in your guys' opinion, who's the most talented wrestler in WWE today?
That's a no-brainer.
Get bored.
You can't say your son.
By far, my son.
Here I am sitting with him, and I'm going to go ahead and chicken out because I'm going to say just like he did right there. No, I'm not chickening out. Talented, great ability, presence, everything else. His kid has got it all. Can draw money with anybody, so what else could you want? And I really mean that.
Last question.
Thank you, Terry.
Last question. Who's got a good one?
Speaking of, you know, the product of today with so many options on the independent scene and Ring of Honor and everything else, do you have a lot of time? Do your schedules allow a lot of time just to keep up to date with the product that's out there right now?
You're saying, do I try to keep up with the product of today?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and watch TV and stuff? Not really, not at all. I don't think Bobby does either. I don't go ahead and stay tuned to Monday Night Raw or anything like that. And it's not because I don't love it or anything. It's just that I've got, time's getting shorter and I've got things to do.
You know. We got lucky to get him here, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Guys,
not better things, but things I have to do.
I want to, again, thank you guys for being here and doing the meet and greet with us. We're gonna do a drawing tonight at the wrestling matches. You do not have to be present if you're not going to those matches.
Who's going to the wrestling
match? Yeah, right, Herb. Can you promote that real quick for me?
Yeah, tonight. If you haven't got your tickets, you need to be there. You never know with Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling what's going to happen. These guys can tell you. Last night we had a show in Illinois, and I had to get them out of the locker room to come and help.
They'll be in the building.
He had to kick us all the way to the ring.
So guys,
he had trouble getting us
to the ring.
Well, we're
no, don't let him kick you. They can go.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.